Looking for more segments from NTI 2017 in Houston, Texas? Another great segment is coming up. It's The Nursing Show. Hi, Jamie Davis here from NTI 2017 here in Houston, Texas, and I'm here with Kathy Hill, and we're going to be talking about her presentation, and I have to make sure I read this correctly, so I'm going to look down here. There's the way we always do it and the way to always do it. Kathy, what does that mean?
Well, there's two different ways that nurses practice. The way we always do it means the habits and conventions that we might do because of the culture on our unit, or because of it might be ignorance, or just may just be out of habit by the way we do particular aspects of patient care. The way to always do it is what's grounded in best practice. What should we do because of the standard of care?
So is there an example of that that we can bring to mind so that maybe we can share it with them what we're talking about?
Yes. So today in my talk, I gave a couple examples. One is the nurse who might verify NG tube placement. If you're dropping an NG tube because you want to initiate tube feedings, you want to make sure you're actually in the stomach. And the old way of doing it was to put an air bolus into the stomach and auscultate, or it was taking the end of the tube and putting it into a glass of water. If it bubbled, you knew you were in the lung. Bad idea. Pull the tube out and restart. But now we know, based on the evidence, based on research and recommendations of many parties, including the AACN, is that we should always verify placement by a KUB or by an X-ray verification. So if you run into a nurse who still does, for instance, the air bolus, that's really not best practice at all, and it could potentially harm the patient. So that's one of the examples. The other example I used today was the habit we have of instilling normal saline into an endotracheal tube or a tracheostomy just out of habit when we go to suction a patient. For many years, we believed that putting the normal saline down the tube would liquefy secretions. Well, it's wrong. And nursing and our respiratory therapy partners also agree it's wrong. There are particular situations, like when you're cleaning the suction tube, that the saline is useful, but routinely using normal saline is just drowning the patient, and we don't want to do that. So we have to get out of that habit, because there are still our nurses who believe, oh, if I just throw a little saline down, it will be better. No, it's not.
Excellent. Now, when did you become passionate about this? I guess we should back up a little bit and tell us a little bit about your background, because this is something that you're really passionate about.
Yes. Well, I've been a nurse for 40 years, so I'm dating myself here, but I have always loved my role as a clinical nurse specialist. So I'm a CNS in the surgical ICU at Cleveland Clinic. So it's 30 beds of very sick patients who've had all kinds of surgeries. And so I have a great interest in critical care, and always have for most of my nursing career. But my interest in the evidence-based practice was piqued because I was selected to be a member of the evidence-based practice work group for AACN. So I'm living proof that if the AACN asks you to volunteer for a committee, it will take you places you never imagined you could go. So I served on that work group for 3 years, and my employer was very generous in allowing me to have time to travel and to participate in this committee. And so we developed and published some of the practice alerts that are used right now as saying this is the standard of care. That kept my interest going, and I still participate in some of those review sessions to this day.
So you've seen a lot of this evidence-based change over the course of your career.
Yes.
What do you say to a nurse out there that's reluctant to be an advocate for this kind of improvement to nursing practice?
Well, I say that there's not everybody has to be the principal investigator for a randomized clinical trial, that it's equally important to be, you don't have to be a chief, but you could be one of the Indians, because the chiefs don't get anywhere without the Indians. So it's much more important, in my opinion, to be somebody who's an early adopter of the evidence. And actually, clinical nurse specialists are prime examples of that, because at my organization, we lead a lot of the practice changes. So you don't have to find the evidence. You have to be well-read and be open-minded enough to implement the evidence or to call out your colleagues when they're not following the best practices as well. And most of the time, it's not because they don't want to. They may not know. They may not be inclined to research things like you do. But there's many ways that a nurse can follow the best practices without having to find the best practices themselves.
What are some of the barriers to improving nursing practice? I mean, obviously, there's some things that there are going to be some roadblocks along the way, some speed bumps, if you will.
Yes.
And how do you deal with that?
Well, sometimes people don't like to change. That's probably human nature. But there are, if you can understand people's motivation for doing the right thing and feed into that, that helps. So many nurses that I work with are actively pursuing their bachelor's degree, and so they might need to have a capstone project for their BSN, and they may need a quality improvement project. So I interact with them and see if they might be interested in just implementing some new evidence in our unit, for instance. So it might be something where you get kind of two for the price of one. You're getting you're doing something of a quality improvement, you're helping your unit, but you're also helping yourself towards your goals. Or the other might be just to help a nurse. At the very extreme, we use our standards and our practice alerts or our policies and protocols that every hospital has as a way to say, this is what we stand for. And so with nurses who are perhaps more reluctant to make a change, I always say, in 5 years when you've forgotten what you did today, the record is going to stand, and somebody's going to compare your record of care with the standard. So if you follow the standard, you can't go wrong.
Any final piece of advice to encourage a nurse that's checking out this episode to be that advocate in their unit or in their facility?
Yes, actually, I was asked a similar question earlier today. And what I said is, if you think, do we actually practice evidence-based practice in my unit? What I recommend to people is just going to the AACN website, pulling up the practice alerts. There's many there. And just looking at each alert and saying, do we do that on our unit or not? If we don't, then who can I engage? Who can I get to help us change this practice now? Because those are easy practices to change, in that the steps for making the changes are right there in those practice alerts. And someone's already done the legwork with looking at the evidence. They've already said this is the best way to go, and it's all right there on the website.
Excellent. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for spending some time and chatting with my audience and letting them know a little bit about your presentation and how they can be advocates for best practices.
You're welcome.
And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here from NTI 2017. We're here in Houston, and we're going to be back with more segments like this one. So stay tuned to this channel where you can find all the segments I've covered while I'm here. Thanks for checking out this segment. I want to thank our sponsor, Physio-Control, for their continued support of The Nursing Show and helping us get to NTI 2017 in Houston. Remember to thank them and head over and check out all their amazing products that help you provide better patient care wherever you are. You can find them over at physio-control.com. And don't forget to check out all the other segments from NTI 2017 over at nursingshow.com.